You know what? I think you've got to deliver value at every step of the process. I think the industry itself appears to be growing, and I think it's getting younger. Building the business, that it's not just a high paying job, that it is a business that someday will be able to function without me, and we can help more people generationally.
Found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here, After Show, Patrick Lang, Business Modification Group. Patrick, welcome to the After Show.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
And how was the main episode? You do a lot of content. You do a lot of videos. You do podcasts, speaking. Another day in the studio for you?
I had a great time. I think you asked a lot of thought-provoking questions. And I think I'm hoping we delivered value, right? At the end of the day, I'm hoping that your viewers or listeners got something, some nugget out of it anyways.
There was definitely a lot. I can always judge this, and I say this a lot on the show, based on how many notes I take, based on things that are like hitting me that I find interesting, and I already kind of know what we're going to talk about because I have, you know, some of the notes from previous conversation. There was definitely a lot in there. There was a lot of great things. People tuning in, make sure to check out part one. It was a great conversation, about an hour. So many nuggets for anyone in brokerage or HVAC. If you're a business broker, you want to understand what niching down would look like, or if you're a business owner and you want to understand how to be successful with exiting and or buying, then it was a great chat. So Patrick, let's dive into the After Show questions here. You've been doing this for a while, right? So you started, and we talked about this the first episode, you started, basically left it by buying an HVAC company, ran that for a few years, sold that, got back into it, figured out, you know, really the niche that you wanted to be a part of. If you look ahead 5 years, so 2031, what do you think business brokers are going to need to do to survive in 5 years from now?
Wow. Well, my crystal ball works half as well as anybody else's, so I don't know
how right. Well this is going to be. Let's do it.
You know what? I think you've got to deliver value. At every step of the process, I think the industry itself appears to be growing, and I think it's getting younger. When I first got into the industry, it felt like any event I went to, I was the youngest guy there, and I wasn't young, right? So I think that, and now I go to events, and my son's in it. Jim Parker's son's in it. Other people's children are getting into it. And so I think the business is becoming younger, and I think the business is evolving. And with that comes instant gratification. You know, I think that, I think the younger generation is now. And I think they'll help deliver that now. And so I think as brokers, we've got to be able to deliver an experience. The number one complaint or compliment, I guess, I get from people calling me that are looking at other businesses is, I can't believe you called me back. I can't believe you answered your phone. I can't believe you emailed me back so quickly. Because I think as an industry, we haven't done a great job in professionalizing that. And I think that's got to happen or you're not going to be in business. Because a buyer is looking at a listing right now, and if you don't reply back, they're looking at another one. And before they didn't, right? It wasn't as online. It wasn't as promoted. It wasn't as marketed. And so I think now you've got competition from other brokers, from other deals, from everything. And so I think you better have some systems in place to be able to take care of people.
Yeah, it is fascinating. Again, I referenced this in the first part where, you know, you and I both remember a time without the internet and before access to all the information. And so I think not even, I think the younger generation will capitalize on it faster and easier, but I think everybody, and I'll speak for myself and others, maybe not in the young generation, where we all expect things instant. Like if I order something and it's not here by tomorrow, like I'm unhappy. Like, why are we having to wait? Or this afternoon, I can, like, as soon as we get done, I could grab my phone and order dinner and not have to leave the house or talk to anybody. It just shows up like some magical thing. And so everything is now commoditized, in my opinion. And so, like, to your point, that buyer is looking at a business. They can't buy that one, or that broker's not calling them back. Who cares? I will find another one, right? I don't need you. In their mind, they don't, because it's a commodity. What they don't realize is that once they find that person that they want to work with, let's say like you, okay, now the value is there. But until that value is created, like you said, in delivering the value, until that point, it's all a commodity. Everything is interchangeable. Everyone is interchangeable. It doesn't matter.
And that's where that, back to the giving away information and being an expert, is the first part of that funnel, right? So that you are different than every broker down the street, and then delivering on that. Then it becomes about the experience. It becomes about speed. I think of any bad experience, and this is something we're really trying to improve in my business, is communication. Communications with buyers and sellers. I think of any bad experience I've had with any business, it's a direct result of not good communication. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't care what it is. Every bad experience I've had with a business is because of a lack of communication. And so I think if you can solve the communication part, and once again, be a good broker, do a good job, that kind of thing, I think you'll stand out head and shoulders above everybody else.
And where, like, I've experienced companies where I'm not happy as a customer, but the communication is there and the support is there. Even if I don't hear the answer I want, I still feel like they tried, right? I'm just thinking about some recent experiences, and it's just like, you know, they tried. Maybe it wasn't a good fit or whatever it was, or it's not possible. I don't know. Like, but the communication was there, because you're right. And I think in this mode that everyone's in, we just expect instant communication with everybody on our terms at all times. So next question, could be related to this, could be different, is you've been doing this for a while. We talked a little bit about AI, but where do you see the number one tech shift, or what's the number one tech shift for M&A business brokers from their side?
I think it's the communication part, right? It makes the communication easier with our CRM is integrated to do automatic follow-ups and do other things like that. And so I think that's one, doing research on the industry, on people. We vet every buyer before we release information to them to make sure it's not a competitor, make sure AI helps tremendously with that. Putting reports and things like that together. I'm old. And as a result, I'm old school. So there's certain things I'm not willing to give up or I don't trust. And then my, 25-year-old son works with me, and I'm having him go do something. He's back with it in 2 seconds. Like, man, where'd that come from? So yeah. I think that there's the merging of the two worlds is going to continue happening. But if I'm doing research, looking up leads, looking up sellers, using AI to do certain things like that for me, direct mail, I don't fully embrace it because I don't fully understand it. And that's just the reality. But the part that I do get and I do like, I'm implementing, right? Even if it's small, little incremental increases. My problem at this point in my business is enough hours in the day, right? Mm-hmm. You only can do so much, and there's only so many hours in a day. And technology and AI specifically is allowing me to get some of that time back to do the things that I physically have to be there to do.
If you're listening to this and thinking, I want this level of authority, I just don't have the time to build it, that's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. And that's what we build for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and authority signals, everything you need that we've talked about here. So if you want this impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it would look like for your business. Now back to the episode. Yeah, only the stuff that only Patrick Lang can do, right? And doing those things. If we look at last year, so 2025, you said you closed 24 deals, so averaging two a month. But of course, that's not how life works. So I'm sure it wasn't an even smooth 24, you know, spread out like that. But what is what's the biggest lesson you took from last year as you've been growing and evolving the business?
If I'm going to continue to grow, I have to be willing to trust other people. I've got an incredible team of people working with me now that I didn't allow fully to work, right? I'm sitting there doing the work, saying, here, I'll do it. As much as it makes me cringe, I have to give people the reps, right? They have to get their at-bats to get better. And I'm a control freak. And so that's a challenge for me. But if I'm going to grow the business and be able to help more people, I have to do that. And so that's probably the biggest thing for me. And I'm really trying to institute that now. I work a lot, as we talked about in the first thing. I'm self-described workaholic. And my hours used to be eight to eight. I'd accept a call, pre-booked call from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. And I would book a call every 30 minutes. And that was my schedule Monday through Friday. And then calls on weekends. Where now, because of my staff controlling my calendar, typically my last call is 6 p.m. I'll do, you know, a one-off preset call at 7 o'clock. If I have a listing in California and we can't talk till 8 o'clock, you know, the staff will say no, and I'll hear them say no, and I'll say, put it on my calendar, I'll do it, it's okay. And so allowing people to kind of control that to give me a little more free time and allow them to take over some of the work is allowing us to grow. And so that's part of that.
Yeah, there's a fundamental limit on how much you can do. Even if you make a lot of money per hour, there's still only so many hours in the day. And so there is a actual limit on what you can do by yourself. And I can imagine too, there's the control freak side. Really, like when I hear you talk and how I've gotten to know you, is that it's really about the quality of the product, which is the brokerage for these businesses that you care about. And I feel like it's almost this like underdog protecting, like you want to be there to help them in that million and a half business that nobody really is going to pay attention to, and you want to make sure they get the best deal because it means everything to them. It doesn't mean maybe much to that PE buyer, right? Like in that dynamic we talked about. And so because of that, you if you let the team do things, they are probably going to make mistakes because they don't have your experience. And so then that, you know, causes some things to happen, and that's a tough one to embrace, but it's the only way they're going to learn, right? And to grow.
To me, it's a reflection on me, right? I mean, at the end of the day, and if a seller only gets to do it one time, we want to do it right, right? Yeah. There's no do-overs. We don't get to say, sorry, we'll try it again. It's a done deal. And I think too often, brokers don't take that obligation seriously.
Yeah. So we're rapidly getting through halfway in the year. It's the question I ask everybody is, what are you excited most for 2026? We're already into May now as we're recording this. What are you excited about? Well, obviously, letting the team take some more reps, maybe take some more action. But, you know, what else is exciting for you?
Building the business, that it's not just a high paying job, that it is a business that someday will be able to function without me. And we can help more people generationally. Right. My son works with me. We have Courtney and Chelsea that work with us, and they're younger. And so there's something that down the road they could potentially take over and continue spreading our gospel of helping heating and air and plumbing owners, you know, get onto the next chapter of their life. And so that, looking at it from that viewpoint, I never viewed it that way. I just viewed it as I was complaining about other people before as a sales job. And now I view it as something tangible that grow, that can take on a life of its own. And the amount of people that we can help is exponential, right? It just can continue to expand. And that's really exciting to me, that there's something there.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's a great transition. It's a difficult one. you know, means trusting and building the team and the systems and the process, which it sounds like you've done really well at. And what's interesting too, is if you think about like scaling it, not just for your own sake, because like you said, you do well, you can take care of everything that you need, but just helping these business owners with their exits, and just think of like, probably no matter how big you get, it's still, there's still a giant pool of people to help, right? So it's, you're never going to find that limit where it's saturated, but hopefully you get there. Hopefully you get to that point. And, you know, you've grown in such a way that, you know, there's real representation for these HVAC companies.
Yeah. Someone told me a long time ago, you can be successful in business by having the mind of a capitalist and heart of a social worker. Mm. And so I think there's some value to that, right? I mean, I say we need to help a lot of people, and I'm getting paid to do it. So, I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat that, right? At the end of the day, it's a business, and I don't think profit's a bad word in my clients' businesses or in mine, right? And so I think you should get directly compensated to the value you provide. And if we can continue providing value and helping people and genuinely helping people and doing a good job, then we deserve to be compensated for that. And that should continue to grow as the value we continue to provide grows.
That's it, right? As long as you're delivering on that value. Well, Patrick, I appreciate you being here at the after show, giving us some bonus time, especially with your schedule. Again, if people checked out part one, you were on the road all the time. I'm surprised you just don't have your own plane or do your own flying. But if you did that, you probably couldn't work while you're flying. And I'm going to guess you're that guy like me who's working while flying.
Absolutely.
Doing stuff all the time. So I appreciate you being here, giving so much to the audience today, to us, and then just the community in general. For people tuning in, they want to find out how to get a hold of you, they can go to the website. I know I had it in the first part, but they can go to businessmodificationgroup.com. Your email will be in the show notes. You're on LinkedIn, you're on YouTube, basically everywhere. If anyone just searched Patrick Lang HVAC, I'm sure they're going to find you. So Patrick, thanks again for being here.
Thank you for letting me be here. I had a fantastic time. I really appreciate all the work you're doing, Jason.
All right. Thank you for that. And everyone tuning in, appreciate you being here. Please make sure to share this, get this out there. You know, one of the biggest things we talked about in part one was the awareness and the education out there. Business brokers, business owners, buyers, the more we can just get this out there, which is, you know, Patrick's mission about getting as much information as possible and just sharing everything, the better. So please make sure to share this. And until next time, stop hoping for deals and start growing your pipeline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.